Well, you're at home with Jim and Joy, and you are an important part of our EWTN family. And we're so delighted that you have welcomed us into your home. We certainly would love to hear from you. So send us an email with a question or a comment to jimandjoy@ewtn.com and check us out on Facebook. You can also listen to our show at EWTN's Podcast Central. Just go out to ewtn.com/radio/podcast or wherever you happen to listen to your podcasts. Now, as Catholics, we know that the battle is not against flesh and blood, but against the forces that try to pull us away from God's grace, whether it's scripture, the sacraments, the rosary, or quiet moments in Eucharistic adoration. We all have discovered the weapons that strengthen us in this fight. And today we're going to explore the spiritual weapons that aid us the most with our question, which is this: what specific weapons of spiritual warfare have you found to be most effective? We certainly would love to hear from you. So give us a jingle at 1-800-221-9460. If you are calling and you are outside North America, call us at 205-271-2980. And so it is a big question. Here we're coming off. It's Thanksgiving week. It's Monday in the week of Thanksgiving. We just came off of Christ the King Sunday, where we all heard those beautiful readings reminding us Jesus is the King. There is no other. He's King of heaven and earth and under the earth. And all of us as human beings will one day have to bend our knee and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And so this side of heaven and this journey that you or I are on, we are in a battle. Are you battle ready? Are you battle weary? Are you not even believing there is a battle? Maybe you want to stick your head in the sand and pretend that it's all okay. We certainly would love to hear from you.
205-271-2980. Give us a call. Now, we want to hear from you. We'll be right back. Plenty more to come. Don't go away.
Welcome back. Well, the question for today's show is this: what specific weapons of spiritual warfare have you found to be most effective? Give us a jingle at 1-800-221-9460. Outside North America, 205-271-2980. And the Catholic Church has certainly given us specific weapons in our arsenal, and then it's a matter of how are we applying them. Catherine of Siena has a great quote, and it goes like this: and of what should we be afraid? Our captain is on this battlefield in Christ Jesus. We have discovered what we have to do. Christ has bound our enemies for us and weaken them, that they cannot overcome us unless we choose to let them. So we must fight courageously and mark ourselves with the sign of the most holy cross. And that is St. Catherine of Siena. And sometimes the biggest battle is in our mind. And so we're letting thoughts of anxiety and worry and fear and things that we can't control. And all of a sudden, we got taken out to sea and we're thinking, how did I get here? And I'm drowning in hopelessness and despair. Well, we have to fix our eyes on Jesus. We have to renew our minds. In our armor, the Lord says to us that we are to put on the helmet of salvation. And we have to know who we are as God's children. and that we have to be those people. We have to be strong. We have to be courageous no matter what we feel like. You can't say, oh, I'm so weary. I'm so tired. I'm so discouraged. I'm so hopeless. No, you have to renew your mind. You have to read your scripture. You have to know the word of God. You have to be a man and a woman, a boy or a girl of prayer and faith and hope. And if you don't have that, this is Joy Pinto's greatest prayer. God, help me. And there are many a days when I cry out to God for him to help me. Whether I don't have hope or I don't have faith and I don't have courage. Those are the graces in everything. It's not like if he wants to give you that. He wants to give you that. He wants to equip you. He wants to anoint you. He wants to empower you. Because I want to wake up with a beautiful image of the Blessed Mother, and she is standing on the serpent's head. Are you standing on the serpent's head? There are snakes all around us. There are situations and people and things that you and I are not in control of. But Jesus is. And in him alone do we have to trust and hope and have our faith.
Well, it was Feast of Christ the King.
Yes.
Which puts everything in perspective. Satan isn't the king. He wants to be the king. He was thrown out of heaven because he wanted to be the king. And so when you're talking about spiritual warfare, it really worked out for me in just saying, well, what is evil? Where does this come from? But it speaks about Satan, the accuser of God, the accuser of the brethren, the opposition, the one who opposes God, the one who tempted Adam and Eve. Eat of the fruit, because you will be like God, because I want to be God. That's Satan. And I want you to be God too. This is running rampant in our country and inside the church to some degree. Those who pick and choose what they're going to believe about Jesus Christ, about the sacraments, about sexuality, about marriage and the family. And all of a sudden they believe some things about the church and other things are like, well, I'm going to rule there. And so temptation is about opposing God. Satan said to Jesus in the wilderness, if you do this or that, I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world, everything that you want, which he already had, because everything was created by him and for him, visible and invisible. I'll make you like God. He is divine. Mm. Just worship me. Worship me, says the devil. These are the temptations. Opposition to God, accusation, seduction. An angel of light, beautiful, luring you away from that which is true. Resist him firm in your faith, the word of God says. Do it now, you who are oppressed. You who know Satan is about you. You who are interceding not for yourself, but for your children who are going wayward. For others that you know or a spouse, that you have to intercede for them. You can't change anything, but you ask for God's divine intervention to awaken them, to be true light to them, and to have the hope that they need in Christ Jesus. Come back to the church, those of you who are oppressed. Partake of the sacrament of Almighty God. Do Eucharistic adoration. Get before the face of Almighty God. Say, God, intervene in my life. Cry out to him. Do not be conformed to this world, as Joy was saying. The battle's for the mind. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. In Christ the King, the reading from Colossians is this. Brothers and sisters, let us give thanks to the Father who has made you fit, who has made you fit. You're a baptized believer in the Lord. He's made you fit. Cooperate with that fitness. Fit for what? To share in the inheritance of the Holy Ones in light. Satan appears like a light that lures you. No, we want Jesus, the way, the truth, the life, the light. He delivered us from the power of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of our sins. That's why you got to read the Word of God. and say, so Lord, let me believe this. Let me stand firm. As Catherine, was it Catherine of Siena?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that she's saying, we need to know what we believe, live what we believe, be with people who believe as we believe, pray with them. And that's one of the greatest resources for me. When I feel oppressed periodically, then I'm praying with somebody. You know who I'm praying with? My wife. And when she prays for me and I confess to her, you know, I feel oppressed. I feel like this is more than just my flesh. We're resisting the world, the flesh, and the devil. I feel like this is devilish, what's going on. But I don't know what's happening. Joy lays hands on me. She does something that the Pope can't do for me. Your wife has power that's unbelievable with you. So does your husband. And she prays to me, and usually it just goes. I've been praying for it to go. Why does it leave when I pray for it to go? There's something about the husband and the wife being together, committed to that. If you're not praying with your husband, with your wife, that's openness to the enemy. It doesn't have to be real elaborate or anything. Or just make the sign of the cross over your children, over your wife. And Satan and demonic power flees. Mm. But if you don't do it, then they're saying, I guess they just want us to be around.
Mm. Right.
Psalm 23. Can I just say this
one?
Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup is running over. Surely goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life, and you'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. When the shepherd's speaking about the oil, that they would put oil on the sheep's nose and head. You know why? Because insects, flies, Satan's the lord of the flies, and the shepherd anoints the sheep so that the flies of Satan will not be on you as a lamb. God, anoint my head with oil. Grant me the power of the blessed Holy Spirit that Beelzebub, Satan, the lord of the flies, the bugs that should drive you crazy, that they would leave me, leave my wife, leave my children. And so you gotta work what God's given to you.
Well, and I think for us as Catholics, one of the things that we have to examine ourselves, right? Hopefully before we go to bed at night, we are doing an inventory. Lord, what were my mistakes? What were my failures? Who did I injure? Who injured me and I'm not forgiving them? All those things, we have to examine our own hearts, because we, as people of God, we want to keep our hearts pure and holy so we can be most effective. Mm-hmm. And that's going to confession. That is going into adoration and crying out before the Lord. It's a very holy place, like no other place on earth, when we go into adoration. And God can do things in that place that no other place can happen. And it's a heart makeover. He makes over our hearts when we go to confession, when we go into adoration, when we go to church, when we're reading the scriptures. This isn't rocket science. This is easy stuff that any one of us can do. The problem is we're not doing it. And I think one of the most important things in marriage is, because Satan has three tricks. He's come to rob you, he's come to kill you, and he's come to destroy you. Mm. What do you have? Your marriage? He doesn't like that you have a marriage. He wants to destroy your marriage. You have a family? He doesn't like your family. He wants to destroy your family. Take it down, break it apart, separate it. Well, that's all the stuff of the enemy. He wants to conquer and divide. Mm. And divide and conquer and do that. That's what he wants to do. We can't let that happen. We have to stand guard. If we could see the spiritual atmosphere that is around us, I think we would be better warriors, because we would see how evil it is. And you say, that's not really happening. It is really happening. Mm-hmm. And so you have to bless yourself. You need to have holy water at your house. You need to have holy water in your purse. I mean, I'm a real advocate of some of the sacramentals. And those are aids that the church has given us.
These are our weapons.
And these are our weapons. And so when we come up and we're bankrupt, and I get it, I've been bankrupt, I've been hurt, I've been in despair, I've been hopeless, I've been faithless, I have no other place to run except to Jesus. And you just call on the name of Jesus. You call on the Blessed Mother to come near you and to hold you and to cradle you in her arms and for Jesus. And I'm telling you, things change. At the name of Jesus, the most powerful name on earth, you declare around the atmosphere how holy he is. The devil doesn't like when you call our Lord holy. I love saying, Lord, you are holy, holy, holy. He is, and I want to enter into his holiness and his goodness and everything that is good and true and beautiful. And that's how we stand. That's how we persevere. That's how we endure, one step at a time.
For you, we say, thou, O Lord, your shield about me. You are the glory and the lifter of my head. You say it. You, Lord, your shield about me. You're the glory. You're the lifter of my head. I'm so cast out. Do it now. Speak out to the Lord. Ask for his mercy and grace to be upon you and upon your loved ones now. In the name of Jesus, be blessed. And we add our prayers and blessing to your life. Be set free even now and free today. We'll be right back. Plenty more to come. Don't go away.
Welcome back. Well, to give us her report on the latest happenings in Rome, we're going to go straight to beautiful Joan Lewis. Joan, what do you have for us today?
Okay. Greetings, Jim and Joy, from my home to your home. I think you know there's been a lot of big news here lately, but probably the biggest story recently was yesterday, Sunday, the announcement at the Angelus by Pope Leo of his apostolic letter called In Unitate Fide, in the unity of faith. Now you probably know he leaves Thursday for Turkey, and there he's going to mark the 1700th anniversary of the Council of Nicaea, which of course gave us the Nicene Creed. Now here's what he said, this is so important, in the letter. He said, in the unity of faith, proclaimed since the beginning of the church, Christians have been called to walk in harmony, guarding and transmitting the gift they have received with love and joy. This is expressed in the words of the Creed. I believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, who for our salvation came down from heaven. And the Pope said these words were formulated 1700 years ago by the Council of Nicaea, the first ecumenical council in gathering in the history of Christianity. Now, he said, as I prepare for my apostolic trip to Turkey, I would like this letter to encourage the whole church to renew her enthusiasm for the proclamation of the faith. For centuries, this enduring confession of faith has been the common heritage of Christians, and it deserves to be professed and understood in ever new and relevant ways. And then the Holy Father gave a historical and theological overview of this council, which was convened, of course, in 325 by the Emperor Constantine. And the Pope importantly also highlighted the ecumenical dimension. He said, in the journey towards the full visible unity with the Orthodox and Eastern Orthodox churches and with the ecclesial communions born of the Reformation, in order to carry out this ministry credibly, we must walk together to reach unity and reconciliation among all Christians. The Nicene Creed can be the basis and reference point for this journey. He said it offers a model of true unity in legitimate diversity. Now, of course, this announcement came at the end of the Mass in St. Peter's Square on Sunday. It was very cold, but fortunately there was a lot of sun. Came at the end of Mass, the Feast of Christ the King, and it was the Jubilee of Choirs. And the Pope urged choristers, when they sing, to show unity. He said liturgical music must foster communion. Now, interestingly enough, the thousands and thousands of choral groups that participants that were in Rome Saturday morning attended a Jubilee audience in St. Peter's Square with Pope Leo, and then in the afternoon they went on pilgrimage to all of the holy doors of the papal basilicas. And incredibly enough, in the evening, 92 churches in Rome welcomed 92 of the choirs to sing at their evening masses. So a beautiful weekend here in Rome, a little rainy today, but on that, I want to go back to you, except to wish you a happy Thanksgiving. And isn't it rather remarkable, ironic almost, that our first American Pope is actually on Thanksgiving Day going to be in Turkey? Kind of makes you smile, doesn't it? Back to you.
I never thought of it quite that way.
No,
that was really great. Thank you so much, Joan, for another wonderful, wonderful report from Rome. We've been sharing today about the weapons of our warfare. May we pick them up. Prayer, adoration, the Holy Eucharist, confession, Holy Scriptures, and on and on and on. God equips us for what he calls us to be the children of God. And Satan and our Lord Jesus Christ are not equal. Mm. Jesus Christ is Lord and King. Confess it. Say that. Jesus, you are my Lord. You are my King. And I love you. I yield my life to you. You are King and Lord. Be sure to join us on Wednesday when we have the executive of Mary's Shelter, Kay Traddles, on the show to speak with us about her incredible work in building safe homes for women who are in crisis pregnancy. And we know Kay personally, the great work that she does. Our Pregnancy Medical Center works with her in her beautiful shelters and village that she has for women who are homeless and pregnant. It's a great, great work. You're an important part of this EW10 family. You're never alone. You're not working out your faith alone. EW10 is here for you. You're part of the family. And you're always at home with Jim and with Joy. Bye now.